about Brahman consciousness. Brahman consciousness. Brahman. It's very easy to talk about Brahman consciousness for the simple reason, no matter what we talk, that will prove to be the expression of Brahman consciousness. Just that. No matter what we talk, it's going to be the expression of Brahman consciousness. When we talk of a pillar, of a wall, of a ceiling, of a floor, what we are talking about? We are talking about the house. No matter of what aspect of the house we talk, that is the expression of the house. House is the totality of all these small, small items which structure it. House is just the total. The word house is the expression of a totality of all these different constituents of it. Pillar, the wall, the ceiling, the floor, anything, kitchen, dining, living, any room, is the expression of the house. Even the names of all these things, when we talk of the wall, the word wall, the name wall, also is the expression of the name house. And the form of the wall also is the expression of the form of the house. So name and form, two things. Name of the totality is expressed by the names of the parts of the totality. The name house is the name of the totality of the expressions of the names wall, floor, ceiling, pillar, all this. These are all the constituents. The constituent of the name are the names. The constituent of the form, house, is an assemblage of the form of the house. So name of house and form of house. Names of all these items which make a house and forms of all these items which go to make the house. The name and the form. Name of the parts. Names of the parts, plural. Names of the parts are the expressions of the name of the whole. Forms of the parts are the expressions of the form of the whole. Having understood this, we have understood what Brahman is. So, what I said, that no matter what we talk, it will come out to be the expression of Brahman, and this is the status of Brahman. Wholeness, totality of life. So, no matter of what aspect of life we talk, that is in reality the talk of the totality of life. Now we'll go into a little bit more detail of explanation of it. Brahman consciousness is the consciousness of the whole of life. Now, you may come up to say, I have experienced Brahman consciousness because every moment I take a dive, transcendental consciousness is certainly unbounded. And unboundedness must be called wholeness. There are no boundaries. It is the boundaries that partition the whole. So when there is no boundary in transcendental consciousness, you know from our own experience that it is wholeness. Is it Brahman? The answer is, of course, yes. Because if we experience wholeness, why not? That is one state of the, what we call, the essential nature of Brahman, wholeness, unboundedness, unrestrictedness. And that is the consciousness that we experience, wholeness. But we call it not Brahman consciousness, but only transcendental consciousness or pure consciousness. We describe its character as wholeness, unboundedness, infinity, unrestricted awareness. But we don't call it Brahman consciousness. All right. This is like an indication or a picture, a model of a house, a model. The architect makes a drawing, and we see the 16-story building. It's there. We see, but we don't call it a building or a home. It's a model. It gives an experience of the wholeness, but we don't call it a building. Building is structured from that basis, that wholeness, and then transcendental consciousness, and then cosmic consciousness, and then God consciousness, and then unity. Different values of consciousness. All these different values of consciousness are with reference to relative states of consciousness. Waking, dreaming, and sleeping, these are relative states of consciousness. Transcendental, absolute. Now, cosmic consciousness is that absolute transcendental consciousness plus waking or dreaming or sleeping. So, transcendental consciousness gets another name, cosmic consciousness, by virtue of the inception of waking, dreaming, sleeping. So it is the relative states of consciousness that require another name, relative name. When we say CC, cosmic consciousness, it is compared to, it is with reference to transcendental consciousness. So it's a relative name. It has a reference. It has a reference. Cosmic consciousness has a reference to pure consciousness. One C belongs to pure consciousness. The other belongs to cosmic. CC, cosmic consciousness. And consciousness we experience as transcendental consciousness. God consciousness is another relative consciousness, and this new name comes up because something happens to the waking and dreaming and sleeping states of consciousness. They begin to coexist with the transcendental consciousness or pure consciousness, in there supreme relative value, celestial value, is a supreme relative value. In cosmic consciousness, waking, dreaming, sleeping states of consciousness coexist with pure state of consciousness in the ordinary way. But in God consciousness, these waking, dreaming, and sleeping states of consciousness begin to coexist with pure consciousness in their supreme relative value, celestial value. Relative modifications present different states of consciousness, cosmic consciousness, God consciousness. God consciousness is that unbounded awareness of the self and object of perception in its supreme relative value, in its celestial value. So, most refined relative perception on the basis of unbounded awareness. Unbounded awareness of the self along with the most enriched value of the object of perception, God consciousness. From the supreme relative value, the object begins to be perceived in its infinite value. This is rise of the value of the object. From the ordinary gross value in cosmic consciousness, the object has risen to the most refined value in the relative, become celestial. And one more step of progression, one more step of evolution, and the perception gains the value of, perception gives the value of infinity to the object. The object then is experienced in its infinite value. Infinite value is like the value of the sap, unmanifest value, unbounded. So the unbounded expression of the object along with the unbounded expression of the subject, the self unbounded, self-awareness, unbounded self-awareness, along with the unbounded value of the object, this is unity consciousness. When the incarnation is perceived, it's perceived in terms of myself. Mike perceived, it's perceived in terms of myself. Any object of perception is perceived in terms of the self. This is unity consciousness. The object is raised to the value of the subject. The subject is as good as the object. And in this state, the subject-object relationship ceases. The two become united. This is unity consciousness, unity consciousness. Absolute value of the subject, self unbounded, absolute value of the object, infinite, unbounded, unity, consciousness. Now you have to be a little alert. What more can there be? What more can there be? We'll talk about many things later, but let us now concentrate on this point. The object of perception is cognized in its unboundedness. I see incarnation, and I see it as myself. Beautiful. Perception of the incarnation is accompanied with other values of perception as well. When I see incarnation, what I see? So many things in the background. So the primary focus of perception is on incarnation. Secondary focus is on the wall, on the ceiling, on the pillar, on the table. Secondary. And even in the secondary, something which is nearest may be secondary, something which is little farther away may go on the third level of perception, something little farther away may have the fourth degree of perception. Fuller, major focus is on the incarnation. But minor values of perception extend to the environment of the incarnation. So, when unity consciousness begins to be experienced, first the object of primary focus gains infinite value. The object of primary focus is cognized in terms of the self. The object of secondary perception, third grade perception, fourth grade perception, they are not cared for. Not cared for. But wherever the primary focus is, the perception has raised the value of that to unboundedness. Whatever is perceived, perceived in terms of the self. Whatever is the background of perception, it's not involved in the evaluation of the object as myself. It is this little variation in the different, it is this little variation in the field of perception that still has to be evolved. As it is, the object of primary focus has been evolved to infinity. Objects of secondary, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade perception, not yet in terms of the self, not yet in terms of the self. This is in terms of the self that is not cared for. Everything else is not in terms of the self. Even though the experience of incarnation in terms of the self is not contrary to the perception of the background also in terms of the self, but yet that stage has not yet developed that the second grade focus also is in terms of the self. And when this starts to happen, then unity consciousness starts to rise to Brahman consciousness. It's a very fine thing. It's a degree of unity consciousness. It's a degree of unity consciousness. But it's very surprising when we say unity consciousness, then we come out to talk of the degrees of unity consciousness. It sounds too far-fetched. Unity consciousness is unity. Moments say unity consciousness, what more? Unity consciousness. But there is something more to it. There is something more to it. I'll make it a little more clear, huh? What is the basis of unity consciousness? From what it rises? Unity consciousness rises on its own level. There is a level of life within me which is unbounded, which I know when my awareness reaches that area, I am unbounded. It's within me, within the subject. Deep within the subject is that wholeness of life, unbounded. Likewise, deep within the object is that unmanifest value of the object, which again is free from the qualities of the form and name, that again is unbounded. So deep within the object, the reality is unbounded. The boundaries of the object, deep within them, have something which is unbound. So the object is boundless in its reality. The subject is boundless in its reality. And therefore, unity of existence has a level of its own. Oxygen and nitrogen and hydrogen, all these different elements, deep within each of them is absence of the qualities of hydrogen, absence of the qualities of nitrogen, absence of the qualities of calcium, absence of all these qualities. There is something which is qualityless. If you go deep within the atom, finer particles, high energy particles. If you go deep, more deep within them, ground state, non-moving. Physics calls it ground state. Deep within ground state, vacuum. Vacuum state. Completely unmanifest, completely unbound, completely non-changing, immovable, eternal, infinite, immortal being. That is the reality. The reality of life, the reality of all life is that omnipresent, unmanifest wholeness, unrestricted, unbound. We experience it as our consciousness. That reality is experience. It's a direct experience. Science of creative intelligence opens our awareness, opens our machinery of perception to that unbounded wholeness of life, which is evenly present everywhere in its immovable, non-changing value. That vacuum state. That does not rise or fall. I'm only playing upon the word of when I said unity consciousness rises. Now I'm clarifying that it does not rise. It's just an expression. Unity consciousness rises. It doesn't rise. What rises is our awareness to that. Our awareness rises to that or falls to that. Doesn't matter rise or fall in that state. Our awareness rises to that, we can say, or our awareness spontaneously falls to that. Falls to that ground state, and ground state falls to that vacuum state. You see? Now, so unity consciousness, when we say unity consciousness rises, we only say our awareness rises to unity consciousness. We call it unity consciousness because as long as our awareness has not risen to that unity consciousness, so long it is in the consciousness, it is that state of consciousness which is non-unified. What dominates is the object of perception, this or that or that or that or that. So long it is ununified. And when the object and subject both have come on to that level of awareness where the differences are superficial, just on the level of the sap, the difference between the green and the red, they are too superficial even to be considered. So on that level of awareness, which knows no boundaries, and which, being faced with the boundaries, also does not get perturbed or divided by the boundaries, and then we say it's unity consciousness. Unity consciousness. From that level, the unity consciousness, the friendship between the object and the subject, the friendship extends to the environment of the object. First you become a friend of someone, and then you become a friend of his home, and then you become a friend of his kitchen and of his this and this, all the library, everything. So it's like grabbing slowly, 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 grabbing the whole thing. So the subject-object relationship drops off as unity consciousness rises. And when even the environment of the object is spontaneously in terms of the self, the whole thing in terms of the self, then self in terms of the whole thing, everything in terms of the self, self in terms of everything. The distinction between unity consciousness and Brahman consciousness is that the self in terms of one thing, self, whatever the object of perception, it is in terms of the self. Whatever the object of perception, primary, it is in terms of the self. But when, along with the primary object of perception, everything else is in terms of the self, then its real wholeness, then it is Brahman consciousness. Now we'll understand it in a different way. Let's have different way. How unity consciousness has risen? It has risen out of many varieties of development. Various things have come together to constitute unity consciousness. Waking, dreaming, sleeping consciousness became transcendental and cosmic and God. All these have served to be the constituents of unity consciousness. The very word unity implies non-unity, full of differences. So it's the differences that have come together to produce unity consciousness. differences. Firstly, the difference between waking, dreaming, sleeping consciousness. In comparison to transcendental consciousness. And then difference between transcendental and cosmic, and then between cosmic and God consciousness. All these differences gradually start to disappear, gradually start to disappear. And it is these differences which have proved to be the building blocks of unity consciousness. The very word unity indicates there has been some diversity, there have been some differences, and now they have been brought together and we have a unified whole. Unity consciousness. The development or emergence of unity consciousness has many, many reasons behind it. Mainly, release of stress, normal functioning of the nervous system, which is the result of release of stress and purified state of all the chemicals that constitute the nervous system, the purity of the nervous system and release of stress. This is responsible for the development of pure consciousness, which in turn is responsible for development of unity consciousness. So we think in terms of the parts coming together to make a whole. Parts coming together to make the whole. And you have heard a proverb. Whole is more than the collection of parts. Yes? The whole is more than the collection of parts. They say a house is more than the collection of bricks. A house is more than the collection of bricks. The whole is more than the collection of parts. In this you find a very beautiful expression for unity consciousness and Brahman consciousness. When the parts are collected, that means when the differences are collected, together, when all the different things brought together, then they produce unified state of affairs, unity consciousness. But there is something more which is conceivable out of all these parts coming together. The whole is more than the collection of parts. Collection of parts has given us unity. That which is whole is Brahman. Got it? How many have missed it? Collection of parts, coming together of the differences, has produced unity consciousness. So this is collection of parts. Now the definition of the whole is that it is more than the collection of parts. The collection of parts is unity consciousness. That which is more than this collection of parts, that which is more than this unity, is whole. And that more is Brahman. Make sense? Collection of parts produce unity. In unity, differences dissolve. No difference. Because all the difference that there was, it doesn't exist in that unified state of awareness. unified state of awareness, unity consciousness. One may see this and this and this, but then the predominance is not either of this or of that or of that or of that or of that. Predominance is of one's own unboundedness. Predominance. Unity dominates. Differences
have not much value.
Differences have not much value. It's like a millionaire spending $10 here, $5 here, $100 here, $1,000 here. Established, his awareness established in the wholeness of wealth. These transactions of these parts do not disturb his wholeness. There is no pinch. That wholeness, he doesn't feel spend this, spend. That wholeness predominates, even though the behavior is in parts. This is unity consciousness. The behavior has to be in the field of diversity, in the field of differences. But just as a millionaire, his awareness being established in the wholeness of wealth, unshakable wholeness of wealth, in his awareness, spending this, he knows, he spends, he enjoys, he suffers, whatever. But all that doesn't have much meaning in the steadiness of his awareness of great wealth. Just like that, unity consciousness is not devoid of the experiences of the differences, only they don't much mean, they don't shake his unshakable stand in the unified state of awareness. This is unity consciousness, something more than that. In unity consciousness, whatever the object of perception, that is in terms of myself. Whatever object of perception, that is in terms of myself. And in this state, something that is not the object of perception is not included within the range of the self. Only the object of perception is in terms of the self. Something that is beyond the object of perception, away, far, here, there, it is not taken into consideration. It's not considered. So unity consciousness is within the range of perception. Whatever is perceived, that is in terms of the self. Every object of primary perception. Because perception has its varying degrees. Primary perception, secondary perception. There is main concern, there is subordinate, secondary concern. So secondary concerns are not involved in unity consciousness. And when everything gets involved with anything being involved, when everything gets involved in anything being involved, then it's the wholeness which is more than the collection of the parts of consciousness. Whole is more than the collection of parts. It's such a common phrase, we know it from 5 years of age. Whole is more than the collection of parts. The house is more than the collection of bricks. Whole is more than the collection of parts. So, collection of parts presents unity consciousness. That which is more than this is Brahman consciousness. More than this. This gives us a very good account of what the collection of parts is and what we can expect from this situation when the parts have been brought together. When the parts have been brought together, then this collection of parts will produce something more than what it in itself is. And that will be Brahman consciousness. Now let us understand it in a more
in a more clear way. We started this whole consideration with these pillars and the wall and the ceiling and the floor and this whole thing. What we get out of this? The builder raises a wall, and he builds, raises a pillar and a ceiling and a floor. He just builds these. What gets out of all this is house. Collection of this. You collect all these things, pillar and this taken together. Collection of this gives a house. So house is equal to the collection of this. Something more than the house must be. House is like all these different constituents put together. Wall, ceiling, floor, pillar, put together. Collection of these. We call it house. Collection of these, house. House is like unity consciousness. What is more than the house? It can't remain a puzzle for a very long time. No. A builder builds the house. What he does? He raises the pillar, and he raises the wall, and he raises the ceiling, and he raises the floor, and he raises this, and he raises this. For 6 months, 1 year, he has been raising this and this and this. They all have been raised. Now, the builder occupies the house. He is in the house. He is in the house. But what is in his mind? The wall, the pillar, the ceiling, and they say, always he says, oh, what a beautiful color of wood I have put in there, and that factory from where it came was really good. And see, whenever he sees a pillar, say, oh, they have made this. What he loses in his habit of constructing these parts, he is in the house, but house is not yet in his awareness. So profoundly, these parts are more profoundly established in his awareness. Just because he is in a habit of building all these. When he sees the wall, he says, oh yes, that factory is really so good. The factory is dominating, the color of the ceiling, all those things which made him select that wood and select this color and select that lamp and select this table. These things are predominant just because by habit. Association. He was in association with the pillar for so many days. He was in association with the wall for so many days because he was building them. This long association with the part.